Okay, this meeting will now come to order. Madam Clerk, can we have a roll call, please?
Meeting of the Orange Cove City Council, December 16th, 2014, 5:30 p.m. Mayor Victor Lopez.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Diana Guerra Silva.
Present.
Council members Josie Cervantes.
Here.
Gilbert Garcia.
Here.
Minerva Pineda.
Here.
Staff City Manager Sam Escobar.
Here.
City Attorney Hilda Montoy.
Absent.
Absent. Finance Director Lam Bui.
Here.
And Police Chief Marty Rivera.
Here. Thank you very much. We are calling to business. I'm going to ask everybody to please stand for the invocation. And that Council Vice Mayor Diana Guerra will do some prayer.
Yes. Let's bow our heads. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this precious time that you have set aside for us. We thank you for just every blessing that you have bestowed on us. I thank you for this new council, Father, that you may give each and every one of us the wisdom necessary to follow through with whatever you have for the city of Orange Cove. And I thank you for bringing us here tonight, everybody that's here, Lord. And we have this agenda before us, Father, that you may bless us as we go through it, Father, and that everything be done in accordance to your will. We thank you for the plenteous rain that you have brought to us. It has been a blessing. And I'd like to pray for anybody in the community that is not doing well, Lord, that is ill. I'd like to pray for my cousin Juan Manuel, that you always may be with him, Father, in these trying times. And anybody else that is in need of you, I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. And also, because also having prayer, the gentleman that passed away, Renee. Renee, just my mind. Renee Cardoza passed away. He is a young man in our community, and today they had his services, so may the Lord be with him. Now I'll lead you to the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Okay, confirmation of the agenda.
Mayor and Council, there's two items I'd like to pull for further staff review. Under City Engineer, item number 3. And then also under City Manager, item number 7. I'd like to pull those two items for the time being.
Okay, great. Okay. Any motion to approve the remainder of the agenda?
I'd like to go ahead and approve the amendment of the agenda.
Give a second.
I second the motion.
Your motion, a second. Any further discussion? Anybody in the audience? Being none, all in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. We're going to D on the agenda, consent calendar. Mr. Escobar.
Mayor and Council, just asking Council to approve all items on the consent calendar.
Okay, Council, have time to review.
Need a motion?
Yes.
Yes.
I'd like to go ahead and make the motion to go ahead and approve the consent calendar as presented.
We have a motion. Wait a second.
I second the motion.
We have a motion. A second. Any further? Anybody in the audience? Being none, all in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Mayor, we have item number C, public forum.
Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you very much. I'm sorry, I skipped that. Excuse me. We'll go to public forum. Is there anybody in the audience that wishes to address the City Council at this time? Please come forward. Okay, being none, we close the public forum. And we'll go to City Engineer, Mr. Escobar.
I'm here to defer this to our City Engineer, Mr. Gary Ward.
Mr. Horn.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the Council. This item before you tonight is a resolution for the final acceptance of the Trail Access Project, which constructed a bridge over the drainage channel along East Railroad Avenue near 10th Street. This project also had connecting sidewalks to allow traffic to go onto the trail and then down West Railroad Avenue to 11th Street near the Health Center. The total cost of the project was $179,000. We had total change orders in amount of $68,087. Those were incurred because we asked the contractor to install additional pavement at the intersection for better access for handicapped people. There was also elimination of some portion of the retaining wall, so we ended up with an additional cost of about $6,800. The cost of the project's been paid for partially by federal funds from the CMAC project of $112,000. The remaining $67,000 came from our local transportation funds, TDA, which is Fund 28. So we're asking the council to approve this resolution, which accepts the project as a city facility and begin maintenance. It also allows the bonds to be released from the contractor and make final payment to him. That completes my report.
Excellent.
I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, Mr. Horn, as the mayor of the city and Sam, I'd like to commend you. It's a beautiful job there. It was needed for the community. The community can be very proud. They're asking me about it. And it's something that needed to be done for many, many, many years. And it's a blessing for all the citizens of Orange Cove. And I want to commend the staff for doing a standing job and the citizens of Orange Cove. Of course, the city council that worked so hard in making this happen. Any comments from the...
I'm also very well pleased with the project because I walked that trail a lot. And there's a lot of traffic through there. And I'm so happy to see the people, you know, taking that route instead of, you know, having to go down through the ditch and maybe falling. And I'm real satisfied with it. I really am. It's a major plus to our community.
Yeah, it came out really nice. And all engineers want to build bridges, even if they're small.
Well, that's something that's big for Orange Cove.
Yeah.
It is.
And of course, we want to thank Ray. You know, Ray is always doing an outstanding job for us. And all the staff, June and I, we're going to commend you folks for doing your job and for the community of Orange Cove. Any council, any other comments on this issue? Any comments? Okay, we'll open it to the public. Anybody in the public wish to make any comment on this issue? Please come forward. Okay, being none, then we'll ask for approval.
Make a motion, go ahead and approve. Resolution. I'm sorry.
Council, I had a quick question.
Okay, well, please come forward then.
Sorry. David Lucas, CEO of Orange Cove. I had a quick question. I know that the council had spoke about having some kind of ribbon cutting or ceremony for the family as well, dedication of that bridge. Has that been done yet, or is that something that's in the plans?
No, something that Sam's going to bring forward to the council.
Well, the council already approved it. We're actually now going to be, once we get, we're concerned about weather now. We're waiting for this completion to happen, and then now we'll have, our city clerk will be scheduling that event. We're doing a ribbon cutting for the bridge.
Good point. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, I had that in my mind also, and I didn't want to forget about that, because it's something that the council is going to have to deal with. And now, of course, the events committee, maybe the events committee can play some role in helping, working with you and the staff on this issue. Would be great. Anybody else in the audience? Okay, being none, we'll go for approval.
I made a motion, go ahead and approve resolution number 2014-51, authorizing the final acceptance and notice of completion for the Trail Access Project Federal Project Number CML-5301014.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Being none, all in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Mr. Squa?
Item number two, again, we'll defer that to our city engineer, Mr. Gerhardt.
Mr. Horn.
Thank you, Mayor. This is the second project that we're bringing for final acceptance, and it's the reconstruction of Center Street from Park Boulevard to South Avenue that occurred this past summer and fall. AJ Excavation has completed the work as required by the contract documents, and our inspector has inspected the project and found it to be in compliance. The project reconstructed all the pavement. We completed the curb and gutter and sidewalk along the west side of Center Street from Park Boulevard down to H. And then we put out the two little bulb outs where the trail crosses Center Street to make it a little bit safer for pedestrians there. The total cost of the project was $823,000. We had change orders totaling $6,000. Most of that was incurred due to some sewer services on the houses down on the south end, just north of South Avenue. There's five houses where the sewers come out into Center Street, and when we opened the street up, we found that their sewer laterals were very old material and they were deteriorating, so we had those replaced to avoid any future problems. This project was also partially paid with federal transportation funds from the RSTP project of almost $700,000, and the balance of about $126,000 came from our local transportation funds, both Measure C and TDA again. So we're asking that you approve this resolution to allow us to file the notice of completion and finalize the project. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, great. Well, on my behalf, I want to again compliment all the staff, you and the staff, Ray and all the staff. I think it's a beautiful job. It's nice to have nice streets. I can't wait for Anchor.
Anchor's next.
I just lost my fender today, so maybe the city will pay for my fender. But I want to commend the staff for doing an outstanding job. That's beautiful. The citizens are very happy. I leave it up to you folks. Me, I leave it up to you. You think it's a great, it's done and completed, I accept that. Council?
Actually, you know, I've had some couple of complaints from residents in that street.
Uh-huh.
Saying that for being a new street, it's not really, there's still bumps in here and there on it.
Hmm.
So,
okay.
That's what I've been told, so.
Okay. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
Great, maybe you can pinpoint those areas,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's good.
Ask them because, you know, I tell you, sure, because, you know, the other piece, you know, this side, on this side of town,
mm-hmm.
that one came out really well, so,
mm-hmm.
I mean, but. I'll ask him. I'll let him know.
Yeah, ask him. I think I like this side better myself. I think you did a great job. But anyways, it looks beautiful for all the citizens of Orange Cove. So,
okay.
Any other comments?
I've heard the citizens are real pleased with it. Real, real pleased. I'm pleased. Oh, my God. I ride my bike down there when I'm doing the walking through the trail, and then I bring my bike down here. It's the smoothest thing. Smooth ride.
And I appreciate Mr. Garcia bringing up, you know, some concerns. If he has concerns about that, I think those concerns should be addressed. You know, we want to make sure that the job was done accordingly and that everybody's happy with it, so that we don't have anybody dissatisfied with it and bringing it up later. I think it's good to bring it up now and address it now. So it's great.
Yeah, I think we're all human, so we're subject to error. If there's a specific area that is, maybe we can identify that we can look at that as well.
Excellent. Any comments, Ray? Any comments about Ray? Ray?
Yep. One of the good things we did is when, about what Gary was saying, is when we opened up the street, we found some sewer lines that were coming from the houses that were very old and deteriorating. So instead of just repairing them and paving over them and having them falter at some later date, we would have had to open up the street, our brand new street again, to make the repair. So we went ahead and fixed those sewer lines while we had the chance. So we shouldn't have to worry about those for a long, long time.
Excellent job. That's excellent. Okay, I want to open up to the public. Anybody in the public wishes to address this issue, please come forward. Okay, being on council.
I'd like to go ahead and make the motion to consider approving resolution number 2014-52, authorizing the final acceptance and notice of completion for the Center Street Reconstruction Federal Project Number STPL-5301012.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second? I'll second it. Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And motion carries. Thank you. Okay, great. Sam?
Item number 3 has been removed, so we're on to item number 4, consideration and discussion regarding the meter installation policy. And again, that's Mr. Gary Horn. The reason why we're bringing this is because we're getting close to going out to bid on the meter project. This is a portion of work that needs to get developed by the city, a policy for the meters, because there's so many different conditions, existing conditions that we have in our city, and we try to addressed that with our building inspector, Mr. Ray Hogue, our city engineer, and also our city attorney, to try to identify the best solution on how to deal with all the challenges, because we have existing homes that have, you know, two residents, are we gonna put two meters, and this is kind of what the policy is gonna be talking about, and I'll let Mr. Gary Martin discuss this further.
Good point, good point.
Thank you. Just to recap, the city has received a $2.3 million grant from the Department of Public Health to install new meters in the entire city. And we've done a survey of every meter, and we found a few unusual conditions, and what we're asking the council to do is to establish a policy so that as we go to construction, we will know how to deal with those. And if residents ask for special consideration, we can fall back on this policy. And and the main point is to avoid any changes or extra costs during construction for the contractor having to go back and do something extra that's not in the original plans. So I've prepared a table that's in your staff report that lists five different conditions. And by far, most of the services fall in number A. It's in your, it should be in your staff report, and it looks something like this. No, that would be the next one after that, I think. Okay, we're putting in about 1,600 new meters, and by far most of them are going to be in category A. There's an existing single meter, single service to one house, and in that case, everybody gets a new meter. That's easy. Number two, there are some lots where there are two single family dwelling units on a lot, but there's only one water service and one meter going to that lot, and then from there it either splits out to the two houses, or sometimes we think it goes to one house and then from that house it goes to the other one. So in that case, what we're proposing is that the project will pay for a new meter in their existing service, and then we will and we've identified nine properties that have this condition. We will write letters to those property owners and tell them we will replace the one meter in the service that's there, and if for some reason they want to split their services and have two meters for the two houses, they can pay for that extra cost, and then of the meter and the service at the same price that our contractor gives us, as long as we know ahead of time. And then they would be responsible for any plumbing from the meter to the house, because the grant will not pay for any plumbing beyond the meter. We can't go onto private property. So this way, it leaves it up to the property owner. If they want to leave it the way it is, have two houses on one meter, that's fine, they can do that. If they want a new one, they would pay that extra cost for the meter and the service, and then they would have to do the plumbing. The billing rate will be determined by the number of units. So even if they keep one meter, they will be charged for two rates, two houses. So they're not going to save money by just keeping one meter. Okay?
Now that meter reading will be identical to both units?
Yes. So that, you know, it's going to be up to the property owner to sort that out.
Okay. Thank you.
And then the third condition that we found is that there are some places where there is a single service coming in, but then it branches out at the property line, and there's three or four meters right in a row at the property line. And in that case, we will, if there's an existing meter in there, we'll replace that as part of the project. And then that way they can keep billing the way they are. So that's called a manifold, but there's no work on the private property that has to be done, because the plumbing all goes to the individual units. And there are only three or four of those conditions. And then number D, we have 12 lots in the city that have existing wells still on their property. All but two of those are also hooked up to the city system. So for those 10, we will go ahead and replace the meter and require that a backflow preventer be put on there so that no water from the well will come back through the meter into the city system. That is to protect our city system. On the two that are not connected to the city system, our municipal code gives the city the right to notify them and to require them to connect to the city system. And we're suggesting that they be given 90 days to hook up and to pay those connection fees. And then, but all of those, all of those owners would be allowed to keep their well and use it for irrigation if they want to, because that will save water for us in the long run. So we don't have any problem with them having a well. We just don't want any of the well water to get back into the city
system. That well does nothing to do with our system.
That's correct.
Correct.
It's private wells.
Private wells, okay. All right.
And then the fifth condition is where there's no house on the property, there's no meter, no service yet, we will not install a new meter. When that house gets built on that vacant parcel, then part of their construction will be to install a new meter and a water service as part of their building permit. So the one of the main things that we wanted to do in this policy was for the houses where there's two houses on a single service, state that we are providing these services or making this policy for providing them water strictly for the water meter project. So it doesn't make it legal, because there are some cases where the two houses are not legal structures. Maybe they didn't get a permit for one. We're not saying that that's okay. We're just saying this is the policy just for the meter project. Didn't have anything else to do with code enforcement, building permits, that kind of stuff. That's going to be a whole separate issue if it needs to be. So we're asking that you approve this policy or give us some direction. We are planning on putting it out to bid after the first of the year. It will take about 30 to 45 days to get bids, and then probably another another couple months to get going on construction. So we're anticipating starting in the spring and going through the summer to get it in.
Well, as a mayor of the city, I'm very, very, very happy. And I'm really, I can't believe the work you've done and the explanation detailed out so that anybody could understand this. It's great, because I had those questions that they're going to come up. You know, people say, hey, wait a minute, you know, this and that. But reading your report, excellent. The staff did a great job. Ray, all of you, June and everybody did a great job. Really happy that I can see this and it's understandable. So that there's no question, say, hey, wait a minute, why do I have to pay for this? It's all black and white, it's all, here it is. If they have any questions, they can come to the staff and, you know, council, any comments, questions?
I have a question. Okay. You know, it says, now, according to the state, does every house have to have a new meter? Because you're stating new meters. Some already have the meters, and some don't, like, well, mine doesn't. So, but the new ones, the new developments do. Now, yes. You're making a statement saying that they will be provided with one. Is this an upgraded one or with new technology, Gary? I mean, yes. I don't understand the difference. Okay. So it's more efficient?
What we've done is, and we had to convince the state that this was a good idea.
Oh, okay.
If the meter is more than 5 years old, we're going to replace it because okay. they start wearing out. Now, there are about 50 new meters that are the right brand and the right model that we will keep the meter, but we're adding an electronic reader onto it. So the meter will stay, but it gets a new register, new radio, because all of the meters will be read electronically. We're not going to be sending a meter reader around. It all comes electronically, and the data will be collected then at City Hall. So there are 50 of the newer homes that are going to keep their meters, but pretty much everybody else is getting a new meter.
And those homes are in the program already?
Yes.
The new homes.
And hopefully the installation of these meters are going to help us save water, help the city save water, hopefully.
Absolutely.
Hopefully.
Absolutely. And I think
the
objective of you know, the meter program is to water conservation, because now as residents, you'll now recognize what your water consumption is. And also for us as a city, we'll be able to read all the meters correctly. So say if you're, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning and your water's running for some reason, you know, we can identify that as well because it's being read. And that's something we're going to try to work through the process to figure out how often it'll be read, it'll be pinged to City Hall. So if we notice that there's been water usage at, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, unless you're irrigating at that time when you're not supposed to, and that's even stuff that we can find out as well because of it. So it's just a better way, efficient way for the city to have accurate data, so we're not on a base plan and where we don't know what the consumption of our residents are. I think the studies have shown that there's always consumption reduction in consumption between 40% and 30% reduction in consumption from residents.
That's a lot.
That's great.
That's really substantial.
Great. And of course, I'm going to take the action that we doubled the amount of already, correctly?
10,000 gallons is the,
right.
is the base. The base.
Right, from 5 to 10.
Yeah.
Correct. So that's a blessing. You know, Ray, do you have any comments on this issue?
No, I think all the steps there, we pretty well covered everything that we think that's gonna come up.
Council, any other comments?
And when the time comes, the community will be notified of this?
Yes.
In English and in Spanish?
Yes.
Good. Because I'm sure they're going to have lots of questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be a huge change for our residents going from a flat rate to a metered rate.
Oh, yeah.
You know, really, some really residents, my family lives there, they were shocked when they put the meters in because their bills were not really high, so.
Yeah, so you've been identified whether you have leaks or, you know, something's going on. If there's a senior citizen lives in a house with just his wife, or, you know, and usually that consumption of water shouldn't be so high. So if there's something going on, then, you know, that drip, and your sink is, you know, you have to take care of it because now you're paying for that water.
So there is an effective conservation.
Absolutely.
You know, so everybody benefits from that. So, and like Mr. Garcia says, you spend, if you waste, you spend. You're going to pay. So basically, there's no free run.
And there will be a public education part of this before we send out the new bills, and we have some ideas on how to make that a smooth transition as possible. So.
Well, I'm really impressed with the way you explained tonight, and, you know, so I want to thank the staff. Anybody in the audience wish to address, please come forward. Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord. Yes, sir. Council, David Lopez. I just had a couple of questions. I was wondering if some of the mains, the new lines from the main up to the meter are going to be replaced, or it's just the meter itself, the program just the meter, or the mains included. I know that Mr. Horn mentioned about some of our residents that have multiple
dwellings or homes on their lots, are they gonna pay a flat rate per house that's on that lot? And then any addition from what the meter reads?
Well, you said the reading from that meter times three, right? If they have three, right? So it's simple.
So there'd be three base rates?
Right, same one meter reads for all three, if you have three. If you have two, it's two, so.
Also being that it's such a big project, I was also wondering if the city was good, I know there's gonna be bids that are gonna be coming in, but any of these companies looking to hire local residents since it's such a big project? You know, because I've known in the past that when we had our big street projects, some of these companies hired locals, some of these people, you know, went on to be, you know, in these fields with the unions and whatnot and made a career out of it. You know, and being such a big project, I think that would be great for whatever companies that we're looking at come in or do come in that get the bid. They'll work with some of our local residents because it's really big for them and they could make a career out of it.
Yeah, that's something, that's an issue that our manager, city manager, had discussed with me personally. And I think it's a great idea. And as we go discussing this issue, we'd surely like to look at all possibilities of what can we do for the citizens of Orange Cove. You know, sure, anything that we can do legally and within the realm and the laws, I think it'd be great. I think Sam said we'd be discussing that issue, you know, with the council so that hopefully if there's an opportunity, we can do it.
Yeah, and it'll be part of our bid request, and we'll have language in there that we want to have in there. I know we've already spoken to EOC who's interested in doing that, and you know, wanted to do kind of like a pilot program with Orange Cove where they serve as a nonprofit contractor and then try to hire as many local labor force or, you know, existing plumbers that we might have for the project. But you still need to have a certain level of capacity to make sure that, you know, the job is doing correctly. So that's kind of what we're trying to figure out how to make it work. We want to have a really good project and still be able to help a couple of Orange Cove residents that are qualified for, you know, either plumbing or that have the capacity to do something like this.
Great. Anybody else in the audience? Okay, being none, council?
Oh.
Need a vote?
I'd like to go ahead and make the motion to approve resolution number 2014-55, adopting policies for the installation of water meters for the 2014 SRF water meter project.
I'll second.
So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Mr. Escobar.
Mayor, members of the council, next item is our finance director with our auditor, Mr. Brian Jolly, who will be presenting the financial audit for 13-14. So, Mr. Jolly.
Okay, Mr. Jolly.
Or this week.
I'm for
Brian
Jones.
Okay.
Mayor, members of the council, pleased to be here this evening to present for your review and discussion the audited financial statements for the City of Orange Cove for the year ending June 30, 2014. I'd like to just point out a number of highlights as we normally do. First of all, we're offering an unqualified audit opinion on the financial statements and indicating that we concur with a fair presentation of the city's financial information. And what we do have this year that we haven't done in the past, because Land has been very capable, is what we call the management discussion analysis. You might remember, might not, but every year we kind of do an exception that we don't do that because we just haven't had people who are capable. But Land has taken upon herself to present a kind of a synopsis of what's going on in the city, more of a layman's discussion of it. So whereas in the past some of this has been a little harder to understand, I think if someone or a citizen or even you on the council read the pages 2 through 13, give or take, you're going to have a working knowledge of what went on in the city last year. With that said, I'd like to just point out a number of highlights. If you turn to page 20, this is always the most interesting page as far as I'm concerned. This is the pretty much the statement of expenditures and revenues for the major funds, one of which is always the general fund. General fund is one that tracks unencumbered funds per se. You'll notice at the end of the year with a negative $1,071,000. You begin the year with a fund balance of $4.2 million. leaving $3,268,000 in the general fund. Now, this trend has been going on for a while, and I continue to bring it to your attention, but again, the problems you can see, when I look at the statement, and I've made this comment a number of times, based on your revenues, certain things have to go. You have to live within your budget. And the 800-pound gorilla here is always public safety. That shouldn't be any more than 65% of your operation. I know you passed a safety tax, which will take some of the pressure off there, but even with that, your public safety expenditures are the one. You can cut back on parks and things like this, but because they account for a small portion, reducing those by 20% isn't going to save you much money. So it is continues to be a public safety issue that will have to be addressed, because you're raising revenues as is, but if I put the $250,000-$300,000 in and I do the numbers, you know, you're still going to be short a pretty good chunk. So it's going to come back. I don't see any way for the city other than tightening the belts on some of these programs to reach a balanced budget. The other page, a little bit more interesting, is the page 23. This is your profit and loss of your proprietary funds. These funds are intended to be operated under a situation where user fees offset operational costs. These are your water, sewer, and disposal funds. You'll see here, we had some negatives down there. When you back out the depreciation, it's not as bad, but still depreciation is a cost that will have to be replaced at some point in time. So I know this is under active discussion to do things there. And so as everything, PG&E, minimum wage, you name it, everything goes up, your rates have to go up accordingly on an annual or biannual basis to keep abreast of these things, let alone ongoing replacements and things. And these funds were hit with it when we had the water shortage and things like that, the water fund. So it's had a double whammy out here, and it's a problem. Other than that, the other funds, your special revenues, your street taxes, gas taxes, Major C, federal funds, are all as intended. We don't have any comments on those. If you look back, there's a combining statement in the back about between the street funds, if I remember correctly, still about $1.78 million that allows you pretty good funding source for ongoing street projects and whatever Gary happens to suggest in those areas. With that in mind, just want to again thank Sam and Lan for the job they did. I think especially Lan, she actually prepared the financial statements. They're much prettier than I could do. And she has great expertise, was trained as governmental auditor, and so we had my staff really look forward to working with her and getting the information and learning from her and vice versa. So I want to thank Lan and the direction Sam and the council gave to her. Are there any questions?
Council, any questions? You know, I'd like to see, are we in the water and sewer, are both of them are in deficit?
They don't have a deficit fund balance, but they are operating at a loss.
At a loss?
Yeah, but you can't really sell those fixed assets.
And it's what Mr. Jolly mentioned earlier, is the depreciation cost. And that's something that we wanted to briefly mention to the council on both the water and sewer fund. If the council recalls, we've kind of gone through the rate study that identified these challenges for shortfalls of funds, and that's something that will be taking place July 1st of next year. For the next 5 years, the rates will be increased to make sure that we have enough funds for both operational costs that we're doing now. Right now, we have enough money just for operational costs only. So we're not putting that money away for the asset depreciation. So if plant A goes down and it's out, you can no longer use it, we don't have money to replace it. And that's the idea with the enterprise funds, that we should be putting that money away, depreciating that asset so that we can one day, if it's needed, just we have the money to buy a new one and, you know, construct a new plant and so forth. So that's something that is in our plan now with our rate increase that we're going to be seeing in July 1st.
So,
and also with our rate study that we did.
Yeah. So based on the studies and the rate increases, absolutely, that would kind of put us back.
Yeah, that was all included. And
where
then,
we're supposed to be.
Yes. And then also what was included in our rate studies were the proposed or projected a capital outlay that we needed for our water plant, which is an expansion of the water plant, like a $5 million project, and the same thing with the wastewater plant, a $7 million project.
Right.
So that's also included, so that we can pay the debt of a potential loan, if that's what we came down to. Now, we're hoping we don't have to do that, that we're able to get grants through the bond funding, which we had a phone conversation this last week about.
And the water meter is going to help a lot. I mean, you're kind of guessing when you have flat rates, somewhere
right.
in water all the time, and
right.
it's costing you PG&E, and you have to buy your water. Now, that's all been coming to stop, and people abuse the system, we'll pay accordingly, so that
yeah.
will generate additional revenues.
Okay. Council, any questions? Okay.
And just, I want to add something else, Mayor. I know Mr. Dolly, you know, he's been, him and I, we've always had conversations about our what he says, the 800-pound gorilla. Our police department, and that's something that we were, you know, since we, Land has been on board and working with our new chief, well, he's no longer new, but with Marty Rivera, we really keep a tight budget on what's being expended every month that's been reported to Mr. Rivera, and making sure that whatever allocations we put or the expenditures are coded correctly. So if there's something that was coded to his department that wasn't belonging to him, that it's caught right away. And so far we've done, you know, every month our finance director brings it to our staff meetings that we have every week on Mondays, and kind of update us on what's happening with expenses. And so we'll figure out where we need to start cutting and slow down, and where we can, you know, expand, because we're already at, you know, if we're 25% of the year and we spent 50% of our budget, then, you know, there's something wrong there. And our police department has done really well for this year. And, you know, I know that it's going to put us at a $200,000 negative in our budget, but they're doing pretty well with our current budget. So,
mm-hmm. But that was initially already projected. You know, we
yeah.
have we
yes,
have,
that's it's part of our budget. Yeah,
we'd have that as long as you keep us abreast. You know, I would appreciate that very much, to keep us abreast of where we're going, some of the things that we should be doing, so that we're all on the same page.
Yeah, we're planning on in the first meeting in January bringing you the end of the year, the December major budget review, so that the council understands that, and then on a monthly basis bring you end of the month reviews as well for all departments.
Excellent, thank you, council.
Well, I really like that, the once month meeting with the departments, because it, you know, if there's an error, you can catch it right away.
Yeah, and we do that so. We do that for the finance side, but we meet once a week.
That's great.
Every Monday we meet at 10 for staff meeting.
That's great.
Right, I'm going to open up to the public. Anybody in the public? All right.
I just have one question. I heard you say you have $1.8 million for roads. Is that aside from general fund? Is that a separate fund?
Yes. I was guessing here. Let me tell you for sure.
Measure C, TDA, and all the other gas tax.
That can be general repairs or new construction?
Yes.
The anchor
maybe
project.
It's not that high.
Let me tell you.
Let's see here.
You said 1.5.
Well, we have it. You know, it was probably too high. We have. Yes, it is. I just was looking at the community development land. You know, I could tell you for
it's,
sure if you want to ask me later.
Nine.
It's not that as much as I said.
On page 18, circulation agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Is $977,835.
Yeah.
Is that
what you see,
Brian?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And that's something that our city engineer is on, you know, on top of, as far as the revenue coming in, and that's what he bases his 5-year CIP street project off of.
Right.
That's the money you would use to match any matching grants or anything for
projects? We don't go any. We haven't done any grants in a while for streets. It's all like the TDA, Measure C, and federal grants that we get through COG that we apply for.
That is a matching.
Yeah.
Cash tax. Council, any other questions? Anybody in the audience? Okay, Charlie, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mayor, would you like to review this further, or is this, I think, I'm not sure if there's any other questions for Mr. Jolly on the
Well, if Mr. Jolly wishes to address some other concerns, then, you know, go ahead and feel free to do so.
Because we're asking originally for approving this, the audit as well, or accepting the audit from our auditor, Brian Jolly, but if the council wishes to maybe bring this back in the first meeting in January, we can do so for an actual acceptance of the audit. So it gives
you further
time to review the audit.
It would be great, so that way we have a better perspective as to what we're approving and what we're not.
And some of you are new on the council. My number's there, call me anytime. Be happy to discuss any specific questions or help you kind of figure it out a little bit better.
Excellent, thank you, sir. Okay. All right, okay. All right, thank you. Sam?
So Mayor, my next item is number six, consideration and discussion regarding the fiscal year 2015-2016 continued funding application, CESD 3704 with the California Department of Education. Actually, this is not informational item only. I wanted the council to accept this. We resubmitted again for the following year for funding through the Department of Education, so we'd like the council to approve the funding for our Julia Lopez Daycare Center funding.
Okay.
And you have attached the application that we had for this award of monies for next year, for 15-16 fiscal year.
Okay, any questions from the council? Anybody in the audience wish to address this issue?
Just
continue funding?
Yes.
So we don't take any action, let's just continue
funding. Yeah, so there's just an acceptance of this so we can move forward with the continued funding with the Department of Education.
You both have to.
Yeah, definitely. Just consensus.
Yeah, consensus.
Yes.
Not for this one, no.
Not for this one?
For the Julia Lopez Center.
But it's just the city contract. It's separate, only when we're dealing directly with targeting.
Yeah, this is basically the contract.
Just the contract,
in other words,
for the city contract.
Do we wish to fund this program, you know, in Orange Cove?
Okay.
Yeah.
And we would definitely want it to be funded.
Yeah, I think the question that our city clerk was asking, we have a recluso from our mayor and our mayor pro tem for this item, but it's not an item that pertains directly with Target 8, it's a city contract, so that's where the recusal comes in when there's something pertaining directly with Target 8. And we're not signing a contract with them now, it's just our continued funding for the next fiscal year.
Exactly. Okay, great. So then, next item?
The next item, we removed it.
Seven.
Yeah, number seven. So number eight is consideration regarding the Planning Commission. Actually, that's something from our city clerk. We have one planning commissioner, well, ex-planning commissioner who's now on the council, and then we've had a challenge with, I believe, two other planning commissioners that haven't shown up to the meetings. So we'd like to get direction from the council to move forward with advertising and getting additional applicants for the, I think, three positions. Currently, we've only had, Ms. Pineda, Coy Weldon, and a pastor.
Applegarth
just showed up to this meeting. The other two have not shown up, so we'd like to go back out because we'll have some items starting the beginning of the year that we'll need to go through to the Planning Commission. So
who are the other two people that have not showed up?
Benjamin Castillo.
Carrillo.
Oh, Carrillo. And
Ines Castillo.
Ines Castillo.
Oh.
Yeah, they never actually, I don't think they ever showed up to one of the meetings.
I think only went to one.
Yeah. So we'd like to go back out to and have the submit for applications again and bring them to the council for appointment process for the three seats.
Okay. All righty, great.
So asking council to approve that to move forward with the...
Okay.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, I make the motion to go ahead and... go ahead and open it up for the Planning Commission.
I second that motion.
Okay, we have motion and second. Anybody in the audience? Being none, all in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
I have a question, Mayor. Since we don't have a newspaper to advertise that, how are we going to advertise it?
We'll have to put it on our Blackboard Connect and then also send out a flyer to our residents through our bill.
Through the bill? Oh, okay. gloves, thank you.
In the envelope.
Yeah.
And the notice.
Yes, yeah. We'll put the, whatever flyer we do there, we'll just attach it to there so it'll keep the cost down.
Yeah, great. Alrighty, well that's approved already. Rule number 9.
Consideration and discussion regarding the appointment to the following organizations. Fresno Council of Government Boards member and alternate. For that one, normally it's the all the mayors are part of the, that as a on the board, and then the council can choose a, an alternate. Normally is the mayor pro tem. Five cities board, which is a board of 7 cities, not 5, and it's all the eastern Fresno County cities, which includes Sanger, Fowler, Parlier, Reedley, Orange Cove, Selma, and Kingsburg. And the idea behind the Five Cities Board, it's an economic development board where we all as a region, on the eastern region, we collaborate on trying to find ways of marketing our region for agriculture and other ways through, you know, websites that we've now just created and redirecting traffic, economic development traffic to our region, to our eastern Fresno County region. And that's the idea of that board. So we would need somebody for that. The San Juan King Air Pollution Board, and the Southeast Regional Solid Waste Commission, and Orange Grove Oversight Board, which is the board for the dissolution of the RDA. So it's a successor agency. So okay. If you want to start first with item A,
yeah,
Fresno Council of Governments, and again, that's the mayors, and then we just need to select an alternate. So Mayor Pro Tem, Mayor Victor Lopez would be the on the board, and then we'd have an alternate if he can't make it to for a vote.
Yeah, these meetings are very important because we discuss regional issues, county issues,
transportation.
You know, a lot of issues concerning, like for example, when we had 180 going east and 180 going west, I mean, the multi-million dollar project, the Council of Governments had a lot to do with that, and we had a voice in it, and it's very important that Orange Cove had a have myself and one of you folks that would like to be my alternate, you know. So, you know, if the mayor would like, vice mayor would like to be the alternate.
I'd like to be the alternate.
Okay.
If we can get a consensus on that as well.
Consensus. All right. Do we have consensus? Yes.
Okay. And then the Five Cities Board again. That's a meeting that takes place. Is it once a month? Gina, I know the city managers meet. We're the executive committee members from the five mm-hmm. cities, and we all meet once a month. And actually this next year there'll be all the meetings here in Orange Cove for that.
Next year, starting in
January? Yes.
So that makes it easy.
So
and are they on one set date or?
No, the evenings for the board of the five cities are evening meetings, and that switches from city. It's a dinner, and you kind of go over what we want. As city managers, we'll bring it to the board for approval so we can move forward with the agenda items about what we're doing for economic development for our five, the 7 cities.
Okay.
So it's an evening meeting, once or twice a month, at least once a month. I think it's every mm-hmm. 2 months though, for the board meetings.
Okay, anybody wants to?
And that can vary from anywhere from Orange Cove, Sanger, the meetings, it'll vary.
Yeah.
And on what dates are they, so do you know?
Is it Tuesdays?
I think that's when you guys meet.
No, we meet Mondays.
On Mondays?
Mm-hmm. It might be Mondays too, the meetings.
Oh, you meet at noon.
Yeah, we meet at noon, but they meet in the evening. Yeah.
Okay.
Anybody would like to participate in that? Five Cities Board?
Are we only on the board?
The meetings are like at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
And I'll brief you on all the stuff that's happening. And if there's something that really is important for Orange Cove, and I'll be there at those meetings as well.
I'll go. Okay. Okay, Mr. Garcia will be the representative then.
Do you get consensus on that too?
Yes. Yes, Commissioner.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, and then we have the San Joaquin
Air Pollution Board.
Okay, who wants to be on that?
June, do you know when the meetings?
I think they meet maybe once every 3 months.
So yeah. Quarterly?
Yeah.
Okay, who wants
and
to be?
And that's in the evening.
In the evening as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what date?
I don't. I've never dealt with any of this, mm-hmm. this board.
Mm-hmm. You know what time?
Usually they're about 6 o'clock to meetings.
Okay, do we have a volunteer for that? Okay, we have.
Any consensus on Ms. Pineda?
Consensus, yes.
Consensus.
Okay. And then the Southeast Regional Solid Waste Commission. And that's a commission that has not had a meeting in...
For the last 2 years.
Last 2 years.
Should have waited for that one.
Now they're gonna have one every week.
Okay, we'll put Josie on that one. Maybe she'll go to a meeting.
Can I get consensus on Josie being on that?
Sure.
Okay, and then we have the Orange Cove Oversight Board.
Staff would like to recommend our mayor to be on that oversight board.
Okay.
Previously it was Mayor Jimenez on that and myself on that board.
Okay.
So we need one council to be on there, so I'd like, I'm recommending asking if the council would appoint our mayor for that oversight board.
Sure.
All right.
Mayor, I have a question.
Yeah.
On that board, Sam, how many community members do you have on?
The oversight?
Yeah.
There's two.
Two.
Oh, on the oversight?
Oversight.
Four members?
No, there's, the total is 7 members, I believe. Yeah, but 2 from the community. Ms. Pavelko's one of them. We have Mr. John Barr, myself. We have a Board of Education member.
Steve Mulligan.
Steve Mulligan from Mosquito Abatement, myself, and then the mayor.
And that board gives direction on the money from the redevelopment?
It's just the necessary meetings for the dissolution of it now. We've already gone through the process of approving the monies and the expenditures of the what's left over from our bond proceeds. So that's already been done. We did this last year with the city council acts as a successor agency, which used to be the RDA redevelopment agency, and now you're a successor agency. And then we have another board, which is the oversight board that oversees the expenditure plans for the year. And that's just the standard procedures that we go through. But this year we had bond proceed monies that was left over, about $378,000 for non-housing monies that we're using. We developed a plan for parks and buildings that we're having, and then also housing money for down payment assistance programs for our city. So it's for low to moderate income housing monies that we have, $278,000.
Okay.
But 320 is what it is. So that's already been developed and established. It's just...
Okay, good question. Okay, we'll go to number 10.
That's a subject of consideration discussion regarding the January 14th, 2015 meeting. We have two of our new council, three, I believe, that will be going to the new council workshop in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be that same week. So we'd like to either reschedule it for before or cancel it completely.
Is there any urgent matters? Any
We might. I might have some stuff.
Well, if you have an urgent matter, then notify us.
Yeah.
And we'll come.
And we'll have a special meeting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If there's something urgent that comes up, let us know.
So if anything, I think on the 13th, when's council traveling up there?
13th.
On the 13th. Oh.
Yeah.
So if there's something that comes up, then we'll notify the public. So for right now, we'll cancel the January 14th meeting. If there's something that's urgent that needs to prior to that, then we'll have a special meeting.
Okay.
Either the week before or the week after.
All right. Great. Okay. So we'll go to F, City Manager's Report.
I just want to report that we're still working on economic development. Our strategic plan that we the council approved and we've now accepted is already paying us dividends. We got monies for our businesses and be assisted with technology and signage and potentially with marketing, a $50,000 grant. The city's gonna be using $10,000 of that to do signage to attract all of our travelers from the 180 into Orange Cove and also Hills Valley Roads. We're gonna have food, rest, restrooms and so forth and directed them to Orange Cove. We're also working with Fresno State on a couple other grants that we'll be giving you a full report on the first meeting in January. And that's, there are a lot of good stuff that's happening from that grant, with some planning stuff, also some healthy eating grants that we were a part of a $3 million grant with the young lady that's from Orange Cove, Mr. Lopez, that you met yesterday. It's a total of $3 million that they received. They'll be hiring a full-time staff, and we're hoping it to be an Orange Cove resident that has the capacity to do data analysis. And so we'll be busy in the beginning of the year working with the community and trying to identify challenges that the community sees, so we can, you know, find solutions for that, where it's transportation, healthy eating, and different challenges that the community have. So we got a lot of stuff planned already for this next year. So enjoy your holidays after this. We'll have a busy year. So that's really all I have to report at the moment.
Okay, we'll go to G, Department.
Mayor, you know, you guys discussed about the Planning Commission seats. I wasn't in here. I walked out, used the facility. But did you mention that there's going to be two seats that were up?
Three
seats? And one of the names I think that you guys did mention was Mr. Camarillo. I've talked to Mr. Camarillo personally, and he stated that he has shown up to every meeting that he was given a packet for, and any other meetings that he may have missed, he said he was not given any information as to when those meetings were, but he comes to every single meeting he says that he's been given a packet for. So I just wanted to mention that to the council so that you know that he is very wanting to be a part of that board, and says that, you know, anytime he did receive the information, he did show up for that.
Okay, well, we'll make sure that...
Yeah, Mayor and Council, I'll communicate with him, with our city clerk.
Yes, we don't want to take anybody that wishes to, you know, to be part of the agenda for the City of Orange Cove. So we'll talk to Mr. Camarillo and make sure that he stays on if he wishes to stay on.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now we'll go to our chief, Mr. Marty Rivera. Monthly statistic report. Police Chief Marty.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, ladies and gentlemen of the council.
Yes.
Public. I'm here to report on the monthly report that happened in November. And I'm going to start off first with a staff report. And currently, we have 10 officers and myself. And we have a total of 3 reserves. One is the level 1, which is on Jeff Paragon. Jerry Galaviz, which is our local resident, will be finishing training this week. And then he'll be in the shadow phase, which means that he'll be doing the work of police officer, but this training officer will be following him for 2 weeks, just call shadowing, to make sure that he is working properly. And if anything proceeds, he'll be kicked out on his own 100%. Jaime Gonzalez from Table Mountain is still level 2, although they've had him listed as level 1, and we're checking with the post to see what we need to do to get him in compliance for level 1. We've had several applicants, however, we have not interviewed anybody for reserve officer. We are going to wait till probably sometime in early part of this next year, and then we'll start seeing about increasing our reserve program again. What we want to do is we want to try to save some money and go into the next fiscal year as far as spending any money that we need as far as training, because like I mentioned before, to hire somebody to even be a level 1 reserve, before we even have any, haven't been able to do any work for us, we've already spent $10,000. By the time you talk, uniforms, guns, equipment, 10 weeks of training, psychological exams, doctor's exams, background investigations, polygraphs, and everything. We do make everybody go to polygraphs now.
How many positions are you looking for?
We'll end up probably at least another 2 or 3.
2 or 3, okay.
2 or 3. We do get a lot of applicants. A lot of them do not pass the background. Some of them we just look at the package, a 26-page package, and I look at it and I see a lot of baggage. So we ended up not even spending the money. We have no reason to spend $2,000 or $3,000 for somebody that's probably not even going to be able to pass the background. Background costs us $600, polygraph another $150, psych another $350, doctors almost another $500. So if you're going to spend that kind of money, I want to make pretty sure that he's going to be able to pass our background. We get a lot of applicants. A lot of them are young kids out of the academy. A lot of them live at home, and they don't seem to pass the psychological exam. They don't seem to pass the psychological exam, for some reason. Some of the doctors that give them feel that they're not mature enough. And I feel as well, you know, I disagree a lot of times. They're just, they're students. They're students and they're living at home, you know, and they'd probably be good officers if they get a chance, but unfortunately they can't pass a sight, so we can't even, get them. So anyway, that's where we are as far as the staff level. The grants, we submitted for the second domestic violence investigator, submitted it 1st of December. We'll probably get something back in January or February, see if we're going to get that grant. We have sent 3 additional people to some domestic violence training, so they're pretty good training, and they'll be able to handle a lot of the stuff that our current investigator has. The Explorer program, you guys met him at the swearing-in ceremony the other day, and we're looking forward to being able to utilize him a lot. You know, we're going to have him. I know they helped during the Halloween, putting the tents up and stuff, and tomorrow, I think they're already, I know that David asked to have them help with the toy drive, and they will be distributing toys, helping distribute toys when we have that next week. And the Explorer program is looking good. We're really proud of it, and I think we're going to have some good people, and it's going to be really good for the community because these kids are going to get involved with police work and learn how to do it, and some of them hopefully will follow that career path. And they associate themselves, and maybe some of the people will tailgate with them and you know, get them their shirt tails and get more of the young kids into a path where they don't get any kind of trouble, whatever. As far as the cameras, you previously approved the bid for the cameras for the skate park. We're waiting for the electrical work to be done at the skate park. Basically, if they're doing some electrical work, it's going to allow a couple of nights, a couple of lights to be on at nighttime, so that we'll have better coverage, or better being able to monitor it better. And we believe that the cameras will probably be installed sometime in January. That's what we're shooting for. We've gotten bids on some of the other facilities we wanted, including the city yard, and we've gotten several bids on that already. And that's going to be the next project, and maybe in January or for sure in February, we might be able to bring that for a recommendation if that's the direction that they want to go as far as going for additional cameras. Police vehicles, our vehicles are getting old. We're looking at, we're going to be coming forth sometime in the next couple of months to recommendation to purchase, at least to purchase probably 4 vehicles. I've already got some prices as far as government costs, and that's what basically everybody uses throughout the state. In fact, I contacted him yesterday and asking for additional bids to see if we can beat anything and see what we can get it for. Same thing as far as the equipment refitting the same, retrofitting the same equipment in the new vehicles. In some cases we'll be able to, in some cases probably some of it we will not. I hope to keep at least 2 of the better vehicles kind of as extras, which means that 2 vehicles that we do purchase will be getting new light bars and sirens and the whole, that's an extra, cost $2,500 for that just piece of equipment. So that's where we're at. The canine, Friday the canine will be completely trained. We will have him on the street, next week. A dual-purpose canine. He's bite dog. He's a search dog. They've tried him out in orange orchards and completely dark. And in 10 seconds, he's found the guy out in the orange orchard.
Wow.
He's going to be good for tracking. If we get a lost kid, I think he's going to be good for tracking, trying to find lost kids. Right now, he's finishing up the narcotic portion of the training. He'll be done Friday. And he's really, really good. From getting back from the kennels and from the officer, it's really going to be a good dog as far as narcotics detection. Stuff that we've participated in is the Thanksgiving dinner and the Christmas parade. They canceled the church procession that they have every year. They did cancel that due to the rain last Friday, and the Explorers will be ready to go for the toy giveaway. And that's as much for the monthly report. Now we'll go to the crime stats. And if you look at the crime stats this year compared to last year, if you look at page 1 there, the part 1 crimes, you'll see that year to date, Total is 122. Last year we had 231 Part 1 crimes. And if you look at it, you can compare the stats side by side, and, mm-hmm. and I think you're probably going to find that we're down about 40% from last year, so I think the officers are doing a pretty good job in that regard. Part 2 crimes, we've still got, there's still one more month to go on this report, and at the end, when we do the January meeting, we'll tell you exactly what percentage we're down in each category. Part 2 crimes, we're down about 33% from last year. We'll probably end up somewhere in the neighborhood of 30%, I imagine, 30-40% again. Total traffic collusions, we're on course to probably be real close to where we were last year. I don't think we're going to be. We haven't reduced it very much. If you look at it, the injuries are exactly the same as we did for last year. We have had more of his hit-and-run injuries. We've no injury accidents. We've cut that down. And our traffic citations, we've given more traffic citations this year. And if you look at the citation, we've given more citations. I still, I ask the officers to make a lot of vehicle stops. I really prefer not to give a lot of citations. Our people can't afford it. But I think most of them, if you stop them and you give them a warning, I think most of the people are going to pay attention. They're gonna follow it. There's some cases that we just, we do give a lot of citations on them. Going to the second page, again, case numbers, we've drawn about one-third of case numbers that we did last year. And you see that we towed more vehicles. The vehicles that we tow are vehicles maybe that, don't think that we end up towing those because we want to tow them. It may be vehicles that were maybe from another agency that got dumped in our city, so we end up towing them, and so we always do, if they're drivable, we call citizens. If it's a recovered vehicle, stolen vehicle, we call them to try to come pick it up. If it's not drivable, then we have it towed in, that kind of stuff. And okay, like say, everything is down, and the officers, I think, are doing a fairly good job. This month, a couple of things that we've had is, I don't know if you guys noticed it, but that health center right there by Sequoia got major graffiti a couple weeks ago. We did make arrests on that. We did make arrests on it, and I'm having the officers check the graffiti, try to match it to other areas of the city where we've had graffiti, and see if it's the same people that have done it. We also had somebody shot in the leg on, I believe, 10th or 11th Street. And all we got that night of the call was that there's some gunshots fired and kids running off. 2 days later, we got a report from a kid. His parents, he'd been shot in the leg and they hadn't reported it. And basically, he claimed that he didn't know who it was. His leg started infecting, so I took him to the doctor. And he says, it's gang-related type stuff. And he's saying that he didn't know who it was. And I sent the officer back to talk to the parents and the kid. And we've got some names now. And so we will be making some arrests on that very shortly. Other than that, I think crime is down. And if I'm here to answer any questions that you may have for me.
I'd like to say that, Chief, that I'm very happy with your service and your leadership and your officers. I really appreciate your leadership and the community's responding beautifully. They respect your department, and I commend you for that. It's only because of your professionalism, and you really reach out to the community, and the community feels very good about it, and they tell me how they feel about your department. So I'm very glad to tell you that. And for your participation at the Thanksgiving with your officers, what's outstanding, that you're showing the community that you want to serve them, that you want to be part of this community. And I want to thank you and commend you for that. So please let your officers know that we appreciate everything they're doing for our community.
I will. Thank you very much. You know, we're here to serve, and we do try to be at every event and answer anything. You know, I've got an open door policy. Some of you may not. You know, the other day I had a citizen, I think Mr. Lopez here, when the citizen came in, and he wanted to know about a call at his house, and I think tried to satisfy him as best we could. I offered to him, and the same goes to any of you, that sometime in the future you'd like to ride with one of our officers and see exactly how they work. You know, feel free to give us a call, and we'll schedule you for a ride-along. All are part of the shift, and you can see how they handle the calls and what type of calls they get and that kind of stuff.
No, I think that's great, because the individual that came in and spoke to the chief and myself, you know, it was so beautiful that the gentleman, real respect for him, the community was very happy with the response that he got and why they went to his residence and what they did, why they did it, and he concurred, and it was great. It's very good, because I felt good about that. That they feel that they're being respected, and it was there because they called for service. That's why they were there.
So 911 called him, basically.
Yes.
They're knocking on his door, and his wife got scared at night, and they didn't come to the door. And after I explained to him that we'd gotten a call, 911 call. Sometimes we get the calls. If it's a 911 call from your house, we'll know it's exactly from your house. But if it's from your cell phone, it just tells us it's like in front of this house or within so many meters of that location, and maybe somebody driving through or somebody walks through by, and we get the 911 call, so the officer is going to go knock on your door and say, hey, is there a problem here? And he didn't understand, you know, why they were there that, you know, quarter to midnight, and he was kind of scared. I think he's satisfied once we explained.
Yes. Counsel, any questions, Chief? Anybody has any questions? Okay, we'll open it to the public. Anybody in public? We should press the Chief.
Regarding the reserves, is there a pool of guys that just rotate? I know you mentioned that it takes a lot of work getting somebody approval. Is there a group of reserves that already just go from city to city, or is not?
No, but you know, part of the problem is this: some of the city where we pay, Sanger doesn't pay. Some of the cities do pay, and in fact, I just talked to Chief Brand yesterday, and we're going to try to see. He's just starting to pay his, and we're going to see if we can help each other. And we're tomorrow. Our officers, I've got some officers that are going to go to the city of Parlier. They've got a gang sweep tomorrow afternoon, starting at 4 o'clock, and we're going to be hitting the city of Parlier. And normally, when they really will also help, and Sam will help, Sal will help, and we send a group and we'll hit the city. And then after that, last time they did it, when it came into our city and also patrolled our city. And anytime you have a large group of officers, especially if they see cars from another city, they think it's like magic, because, well, the gang unit, the magic unit, it's multi-agency, as you know. So, and, you know, anytime you see a lot of officers in town or criminals, think that maybe it's probably a good night to stay indoors and watch television instead of going out there.
I forgot to mention that the cadet chief, that's outstanding. That was beautiful. That, to me, it was very moving to see those young men so proud of themselves. And, you know, I'm going to bring Channel 21, if you don't mind. Where I'm going to work with you, Chief, and bring Channel 21. Because I want those young men to be shown, because they're going to be the tomorrow's leaders. And I take a lot of pride when those young men want to join with the department and work with you. It's beautiful. And we always hear negative, negative. No, there is positive. There is beautiful things happening. So I want to commend the staff and you, Chief, for that. That was beautiful. A lot of people don't get to see the beauty of something like that and how important that is. And I want to commend you for that.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'd really appreciate it, and I was really happy to see that there were not only young men, but young women also.
Are you?
I mean, that, girls,
young,
yeah.
Our young women are probably the leaders of that group.
They probably are, because I know girls are...
Oh, don't say that.
Well, okay. they're made to grow up, you know, especially in the Hispanic community, fast, because they have to, you know, they're put on a lot of responsibilities. So that's the reason why. But
we've given them projects like, hey, we want you to write a paper on ethics, we want you to write a paper on this.
Yeah.
And every time, the girls always get them done.
Oh, yeah.
The boys got to use the keto method a little bit, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No.
I was real happy to see there's young ladies in there.
But I tell you, if I was a parent of one of those young, I'd be really proud. Okay.
You got people that come and say they want to be FBI, some say Border Patrol.
That's great.
Some say criminalists.
That's great.
Some say, one wants to be a chief.
Oh, that's great.
Chief.
That's great.
Is it a young lady?
No, young man. I told him to wait a little bit, you know. I'm ready to leave yet.
That's great. That's what we want. All right. Yes, sir.
Counsel, you know, Chief was mentioning about the cameras over at the skate park and the project, I guess, that the city is wanting to do. And I was just wanting to ask this council if we're going to start enforcing the bike rules that we had in the past, or actually when we opened the park, because I see still that we have a lot of bikes that are in the park, and they're damaging the insides of the pools and stuff like that. We're doing a lot of broken tile, and we want to do more projects. I know that our events committee is wanting to start making some plans to start utilizing that park and bring the community together to do events there. And maybe if at the council's direction with the city manager, if they could maybe have the PD start enforcing that.
We basically told the officers that was occurring, and I told them, I said, don't just run the kids off. I said, if you get a kid in there with a bicycle, I said, take the bicycle, take it to the PD, make the parents come to the PD to pick it up.
Okay.
That way the parents become aware of what the problem is.
Okay.
And hopefully that will solve our problem.
Okay, great.
And unfortunately, we can't have our PD there, 24/7,
right.
So.
Yeah.
So we still have those challenges.
But the new cameras are going to be, they'll alert us, like if somebody's in there after hours,
right.
The cameras will alert us to our cell phones that hey, somebody's over there right now, they'll be moving them and tell us.
Very good point. Okay. Is that it? Council? Okay. Now we go to City Council, or what is it?
Yeah, City Council Communication.
Okay, Mr. Garcia. Mr. Garcia.
Actually, today I was invited by Supervisor Judy Case from the Fresno County Board of Supervisors to do the invocation today, this morning, and also to the national anthem. So I was pleased, by that, and they invited me to do that. So. Because she knows she's going to be, this was her last meeting for the County of Fresno Board of Supervisors. So I was really honored and pleased that, she called me to do that. So that's one of the events that I did this morning. So that's about it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, Delphi. Okay, Minerva. Vice Mayor.
I'd like to say thank you very much to the events committee for putting on fantastic parade. I think, I don't know if it was one of the best ones, but I sure did enjoy it. And it was really fantastic. I mean, there was a lot of work that went into it, but everything went smooth. It was just beautiful, and people, the pride, they were showing that pride in their community. And thank you very much, Mario, and thank you very much, David, and everybody else. I don't want to leave anybody out, but just everybody that helped to bring it together, the staff, the staff here, and
the staff really helped a lot.
Yeah, they did.
Uh
huh. And that's what it's about, coming together and doing it for the city. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And to think we almost didn't have it, Mario,
that morning,
David and I
was canceled.
That day we canceled it amongst ourselves, and we put it back on, and then we canceled it again, and we said, let's just write it out, and then we just said, okay, it's 5 o'clock, we gotta have it now. We
Well, on a side note, Mayor,
yeah.
Remember Monday, 22nd, giveaway. We've been telling everybody to get the applications in. I think we're at 300 right now. So we're doing really good with the application training, and we have till Friday morning to package, and then Monday's our event. So I think I heard Andy Bidek's coming
yes.
to help us.
Yes.
So it's going to be a really good event. Council's invited definitely to be there and give a speech, and it's going to be a real nice event to have.
And we need volunteers for bagging and also for that day to help out. So. Mm-hmm. All councils invited for that event.
We're actually going to go right now after this and start bagging.
Well, I also want to commend Mario and David and, of course, all my staff and all the volunteers, Josie and Minerva and Diana and all the leadership and our staff, our chief and our all our public works people. I want to commend you. It's a community effort. Ray, you've always been there, and June, and of course Sam, our chief. It's something beautiful for the community. I was really impressed, and of course Mrs. Lopez was chosen as
the Grand Marshal.
Grand Marshal. I was very happy for her. She's my neighbor. I love her so much. And the other young man, I guess he couldn't make it, but
Larry. He was in the parade.
Nakamura.
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 Yeah,
again here that I was really happy to see the community. I mean, this was big time. I mean, there were people from one end to the other. Mm-hmm. I looked at the children, they were all yelling and happy, and I just want to commend the staff, the events committee, that you folks are really doing an outstanding job. I also wanted to mention that the other day I seen my staff in Public Works. It was just raining like nobody's business. The guys were out there just totally soaked out there, and I admire those guys. They were out there working like, and I want to make sure that Sam commends my staff. They were out there, I seen them. They were just soaked out there in the rain, doing their job. Ray was out there with them and everybody. And I just want to make sure that they understand that we see that, and I want to do something special for those individuals. Myself as the mayor of the city, I'm going to recommend, you know, with the blessings of this council, that we do something special for Public Works staff that was out there, because it's not easy to be out there, and I seen them, and I felt for them, you know, but those guys have a lot of pride. They waved at me, and I said, wow, but I wanted to let them know they're fabulous people, and they're good people, and they're doing an excellent job, and I want them to know how this council feels about them, you know. And of course, my staff, June and the staff, they're fabulous. Ray, my right-hand man. So, you know, the chief, Sam, all of you, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's, and we love you guys. Gracias. Any further business?